create a passable imitation of a rose, Smets discovered. After the excitement of the search for Fisher's phantom silversmith had died, and he had failed to sell the rumor that one of the twins had taken possession already and was hiding it from her sister, the old man had decided to loose his final bolt. To take advantage of the potential for chaos. To add a new level of distraction to the mess plaguing Orr. Which was why Smets was out after midnight with a bucket of paint for the third night running. Fish had sent him to mark selected points with the sign of the white rose to give the impression that there was an angry underground about to respond to imperial excesses. Fish was after a slower but grander effect this time. He wanted the whole city to hear and begin to hope and believe. He wanted the Greys to start worrying. The rest, he said, should take care of itself. Smets finished his three roses and headed home. Elsewhere, Fish was painting roses of his own. Smets had done two the night before and three the night before that. All in places where a partisan strike would be appreciated sincerely by the mass of citizens. Slow and easy, Fish said. Let it build. Fish had had a stroke of luck last night. He had stumbled onto a couple of Greys who had gotten themselves killed somehow and had painted white roses on their foreheads, claiming them for the movement he wanted to create out of the collective anger. Smets did not like this game. Too dangerous. They had people enough after them from directions enough already. He had worries enough with the spike hunters. But that was not on his mind as he stole toward the Skull and Crossbones. He was mulling the puzzle presented by Tully. Earlier in the evening, Tully had borrowed money from him for the fourth time in 8 days, this time a fair sum, and before he had repaid the last loan. Smeds never approached the Skull and Crossbones in a hurry. That Night Stalker corporal would catch him sure. First time he did. One peek, and he knew he wasn't going in the front way. The corporal and his cronies occupied the porch. So it was the long way around and slide in the back. And that was no good either. He found trouble on the way, and it almost found him. Two men were lounging inside the mouth of the skinny, scruffy alley that passed behind the Skull and Crossbones. He would have walked into them if one had not coughed and the other had not told him to shut up. What was this? Smets felt no inclination to ask. He settled into a shadow to wait them out. A half hour passed. Came the hour. Nothing happened. Except one man coughed and the other told him to shut up. They were bored. Smets began to nod. A third man arrived running.
He's coming, he said, then darted over to hide not 8 feet from Smets.
Smets was wide awake now. Sure enough, someone was coming, and from the sound of his steps, he was a little bit drunk. He was talking to himself, too. Smets suffered one startled moment of recognition. Then Timmy was into the ambush, and